Hello.
Hello, 803 Brain Candy Podcast. Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Suze. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am doing so well. I had a very fun weekend. Thanks to your encouragement and I don't know, some other word for encouragement, support. I found tickets to Mike Birbiglia.
How was it?
And decided to go. Eli was going to dinner with his friend who was in from out of town, and I was not going to go with them. And so I was like, oh, I'm just going to go by myself. It was a nice 6:30 show. Love that. And because I was looking for tickets last minute, I got a second row seat for $37.
What?
We love all this. Everything wonderful. That's fantastic and great. Tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
Because I need another human to like run this by. I haven't told anybody yet. When I get there like early, and I'm sitting there, and before the people are sitting in, there's like, I don't know, five seats in the row, and we're like on the right side of the orchestra.
What kind of? Oh, so it's like the seats.
It's the same place that we saw Leanne Morgan.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a
it's
nice
like
place.
Seats. Yeah, center. There's a big center row, like aisle, and then there are two orchestra wings, like center orchestra and then orchestra wings, and I'm on the right one, and then a group of two guys arrive, and the guy comes to sit next to me, and he sticks his hand out, and he goes, "Hi, I'm your benefactor."
Oh. And so the person that had bought all the tickets or whatever.
Yeah, so his wife couldn't make it because she was sick or something and stayed home. And so he sold one
ticket.
Yeah.
And you bought it. And
yes.
So you're his like wife
he was like,
for
that,
the night.
He was like, oh that, God. That, hey, remember what I told you I got hit on recently?
Yeah. Was he that guy?
Well, I don't know if it technically was him, but it was like his friend who was there who was like, whoa, didn't you luck out? And I was like,
oh my God.
She still got it. But then I was like, I instantly, as soon as he said, I'm your benefactor and stuck his hand out.
The right word.
It's not,
be,
is it?
He would be if he gave you the ticket.
Right. Yeah. Thank
but
you.
You bought it.
Because I was like, at first I was like, the same thing. It was like the equivalent of like him saying, like, you should be smiling or something like that. Kind of rage, like flared up in
me.
I
hate him.
And instantly I was like, ugh! And then I was like, oh yeah, thanks so much. That was a great deal. That's
oh
what I did
God.
Instead.
He should be thanking you. He
well,
was able to sell a solo ticket.
Right.
To
right, that's very hard to do.
Yes. Who's doing that?
Who's doing that? Who's buying a solo ticket? That's going to be my new move is 15, 20 minutes before a show starts.
Yeah, that is a good move.
See what's available. See if anybody put it on StubHub last minute.
This, however, is the downside.
Yeah. And then it felt like every time Mike Birbiglia came to our side, I was like, don't say anything. He wasn't talking to the crowd in this one, but this is the guy who is going to say something. And so then I gave him a speech before and he said something about sitting next to me. And I said,
God.
Well, here's one thing. I have very bad luck and I have recently been sat next to hecklers. So if you could just do me a solid and promise to not be that guy, we'll be fine.
Okay, good.
And so I wanted to lay the groundwork.
Yeah,
Plant the seed that
good
this
for
is,
you.
I am not into shenanigans.
Don't you think it would have, I think he could have just not said anything.
He could have
you
not
would
said
have
anything.
Never known.
No, he was.
I hate friendly guy.
This is a thing that I see. And I try so hard to not be this person too. Whenever I go to comedy shows, have you been in the bathroom at a comedy show? Everybody thinks they're a fucking comedian.
Uh-huh. Yep. I've seen this.
Talk about give me the ick. Like, I hate what happens when people are around
everyone's
comedians.
Performing.
Everyone's
yeah.
performing.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do it in the style of the comedian, which I'm like, bleh, extra barf. And so this guy was running through, like, he was like, oh, I just saw this person here and this person here, doing that. And, or like talking about.
I can't believe someone married this guy.
Well, she
stayed
home. We need
to talk to her. Yeah, so. Yeah. She's like, I'm sick.
Yeah.
She's smart.
Like second row comedy show where this guy's a chatter. So I tried to like set it straight, like off the bat, and be like, don't talk to me. And then I tried to position myself to make like the angle.
When the jokes were happening, the act is happening, was he trying to like look at you? You know how you do when you go with somebody?
Yeah.
He wanted to like yuck it up together. Because that I would not go for.
No, I think in the beginning, yes. But then I was very clearly like putting up a wall.
Facing forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you handled it well.
I thought so too. But I had to share that. And I felt like maybe our listeners will chime in and tell me like how they would feel about if a guy said, hi, I'm your benefactor.
That's the part that's
getting
me.
That's the part that got me too.
He could have just said, hi, I sold you a ticket. Nice to meet you.
And then I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Susie would have had a whole thing.
Yeah, like he had it ready. He thought ahead about it. What am I going to say?
Totally. And then, yeah.
Not into it.
So
I'm glad Mike was funny, though.
He was really funny. It was great. And you're right. It is worth it when you can to get caught, like, tickets up close to see comedians. It changes the whole thing.
Yeah.
When they're right there.
You can't
there.
Go back, let me tell you.
You can't go back.
Yeah. Well, I also had a comedy experience.
Oh, tell me.
So we had gone to Miami. We came back for one day. That's when we had the Candy Club. We recorded and stuff. And then we went to D.C. because I had a front row to Larry David.
Stop it right now. Okay, Susie, you know how you get mad at me when I don't tell you things? And you're like, why? This is one of those times.
You're
but
mad.
In reverse.
You're mad right now? When should I have told you? When I bought the ticket?
Just like a picture for like the marquee. Like remember when I sent you the video and I was like, hey, look.
I'm still processing it. I really am.
Okay, let's process it together. What
was
it
well,
like?
He only had two... events in the whole country. And it was one of those deals where they have a pre-sale code and I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And so I had to find out what that code was. And then I did. Well, and then
wasn't Jerry Seinfeld in Pittsburgh as well?
Well, we saw him too. Yeah.
And now Larry David, two places.
This was DC.
Oh, DC. Oh, my God. It's like I wasn't even here for 5 minutes
ago.
You got me. I got so worked up. But, okay, never mind. If they both happen the same place, I was going to be like, what's going on? Do they have their
whirlwind? Like, the last 2 weeks have been just, like, bonky.
Wow.
But it was totally worth it because I had to see. It was, you created this monster because you asked me who was on my bucket list. Well, and so if someone's coming and they're on my bucket list, then I got to go. Yeah.
Okay, so you find you go for a hunt to find this like coupon code.
As soon as they went live, I was like, and I got front row and we went and I was like just in heaven. I was in heaven. It was so great.
So what did he
talk
about?
It was in conversation. So it was Marc Maron just interviewing Larry.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a great conversation. Those two,
but
I would imagine,
was
a similar style.
A mystery. So I thought it was going to be Jerry. We didn't know who it was, but it was Mark, and he's a great interviewer, and it was just so fun, and I was so glad I went.
Oh, man, that is a bucket list thing. So who else is on there? You saw Jerry. You've seen Larry David.
Yeah.
And who's the older guy that you saw?
Oh, Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart.
Yeah, and then I added Maria Bamford, and she's coming next month, so I'm going to see her.
Oh, my God.
You've done this. You did this.
This is your year.
But see, I just told you, so you can't be mad.
Oh, okay, good. That's fine. No, it's a lot. But Larry's different. That's I wouldn't buy you a Maria Bamford-themed Monopoly game.
Right, I hear you. I know.
But
he's like a legend.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, yes.
I know.
Anyways,
we had a comedy-filled weekend.
That's
and Larry
awesome.
Would never like the guy that sat next to you at Mike Birbiglia.
No way.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would.
That he's whole, like chit-chat.
And now I want to know who his wife is. I'm writing fan fiction. He's very, like... And he had a whole speech about how... I said, wow, look at this. Because the front rows are reserved for handicap seating.
Sure.
So he said, this is the place to sit because sometimes nobody sits here and then you're front row. And I said, well, because I said to him, I'm just going to, if nobody gets here, I'm going to pretend like this is a front row seat.
Yeah.
And then he told me that whole spiel about that.
Right.
And then
he's
like,
got all the answers, that guy.
I'll
tell you what everyone would like, Larry included, and that's Thrive Cosmetics.
Oh, man. Where is it? I just got some new lipstick.
What's the color on there?
Oh, my God. I'm doing that old person thing where I have to pull it away from my face.
Don't get me started.
Irene? No.
Irene, she can't even read it. This is the best part.
What are you doing to me?
She's like, I'm menopausal.
Yeah. I-L-E-N-E.
Let's just call it Irene.
Yeah, something like that. This is a great, it's beautiful. It's great.
It's real pretty. Yeah,
and it's so
nice.
Silky. You know, like I live in a really dry climate and lipstick can easily get really, really dry and make your lips like cracked. And this is so moist. It stays on.
Yeah, I think it's even called the hydrating lip tint.
Yeah, it's the impactful lipstick.
Ooh, impactful.
Yeah.
Looks great. I love this company. We love all of their products. Their eyebrow liner, 10 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Infinity waterproof. The Brilliant Eye Brightener, the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. You've heard it all before.
That.
You know we love everything. And they give back to the community. I mean, they're helping us all out and making us look beautiful.
Yes.
These are some of the best cosmetics I've ever used, and I will never go back. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/braincandy. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/braincandy for 10% off your first order. And what's that phrase? Like, I've paid a lot more for less.
Yeah.
You know, like I've tried real fancy, expensive brands, and this is way better. So,
way better.
You'll love it.
Yeah. And you know what I learned recently, and I never thought about this. Do you ever have it make where your makeup separates? This is like no longer a commercial now. This is just fun facts with Sarah.
Yeah.
Okay. What can happen is that you're using products with two different bases. One is a water base and one is silicone based. And those two don't mix. So it is really good to stay within a product line because they will have the same bases. So they'll stay on.
That's a great tip. I never knew that.
Yeah. I learned this recently and I'm like, that makes a lot of sense why this concealer doesn't work with this foundation and, you know.
Right. It's like oil and water.
It exactly is that.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay.
There's your first fact. This episode is going to be very fact-filled.
Okay.
I have learned so many fun facts that I had to share with you. Some, you know, here and there. But let's start with this story that I read. Not a story. It was an opinion article, an op-ed in the New York Times that was on donating organs, specifically kidneys.
Okay, so, I'm into it.
Right off the bat, what is your feeling on...
like living donors kind of deal?
Yeah, like a freedom to donate an organ. Like,
I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that there was any controversy about it.
Well, the controversy is more like with setting up a system that compensates people who want to, say, sell their organs for money.
I'm fine with it.
I am too. I really thought
what
I was like...
what is the big deal?
What is the big deal? So the article was written by... now, of course, I don't have his name. I wrote it down a while somewhere. But I can't remember where it is, where I wrote it down. But his dad was suffering with kidney failure. And he talks about how many people are on the list, how many people are waiting for kidneys. There are 100,000 people in the United States currently waiting. Oh, Dylan Walsh. There we go. I wrote it there. Dylan Walsh, the article is about paying people for organs. And he says 100,000 people in the United States are waiting for a kidney.
Yeah.
More than 500,000 are on dialysis.
That's why my dad died. He didn't find a donor in time.
This is very important.
Yeah. And
so
he would have happily paid somebody if you were allowed.
And there's this big disconnect that we have from, I don't know, people who are whether they're doing it for charitable causes or whether they're...
Who cares?
Who cares, right?
I don't care why they're doing it. What is the ethical quagmire here? I'm not understanding. Are they saying this is like
maybe a slippery slope? Yeah.
Like Oregon.
Yeah.
Black that market needs, type stuff.
Yeah. And there, I don't know if there was a big argument for it not working, but what it would require in order to set this up, how there needs to be a system that, and it could be, well, and it could be government run, you know, where there is one,
like a bank
flat. Yeah. There's one flat, like compensation fee. No matter what.
Yeah.
I think they should do this. But then does it like turn into this? It feels like I can see where it hinges on this like kind of dystopian future where the people who are in need, who can buy organs, are buying them from the people who are suffering and need money to fucking pay rent, and so they have to sell a kidney $40,000. Like,
let's say they do though.
Yeah,
like if somebody's like, I could use $1,000. It's not like you can
keep selling parts. It's like we got one kidney to spare, right?
Right. Bone marrow would be another thing that people could donate that would save lives that you don't have to do after you die. You can do it while you're alive.
Yeah, and the other thing I'm thinking of is egg donation.
Yeah, well, you already get paid for that. Surrogate.
Right.
That's paid. Why don't
we have this?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking, because it's like, if egg, you know, fertility stuff, you get compensated for that. Even sperm donation, they're handing money over to those bozos.
Yeah,
jerking
everything
off.
Was pro in everything I read in this article.
Well, right. And I mean, there that's are, the essence there are of an
organizations
op-ed,
but that are trying to legalize it. There's an organization called End Kidney Deaths Act, and they're trying to give living donors, this is how they have it set up right now, it would be $50,000 over 5 years, so $10,000 per year through refundable tax credits. And it's been, you know, brought to the floor, but it still has, or it's, no, sorry, the bill has not been brought to the floor. Congress,
yeah. I think that the concern is inevitably somebody that's attempting to donate will die, because that's just the nature of surgery. Oh, I
didn't think about that.
So there are complications. Right, so you're assuming risk.
That you're, but aren't you doing that in anything else that you do? If you're like a freaking Uber driver, you're assuming risk.
Good point. Right. I've not with sperm donation or like maybe less so with like egg donation, but yeah, you're right. Ubers.
Right. It's like another job that you're, I don't know.
A lot of people would benefit and live that are dying now.
Yeah.
So you'd have to make a real good argument for me to change my mind about that.
Yeah. I'm kind of pro that too. And I see where it could go, but
that's a lot of money too. That would change their life.
Yeah, I think so too.
$50,000.
Even in that tax credit, like that's a big getting that every year.
But I think that's an interesting debate.
I can't find it now, but there, and I think we talked about it a long, long, long time ago on the podcast, that researchers were looking at the patterns of ants, I believe it was, like the colonies of ants, and how they knew what their job was based on need. Mm. Like, nobody comes over to the little ant and goes, oh, excuse me, today you're going to be do this job. Like, there's something about how messages are communicated within the colony that tells them who needs to fill what role, and by doing so creates a system where every job is met. And everybody has a job. And they're trying to use the same system, whatever this arrangement organization is, to solve the answer to organ donation.
Hmm.
That because it'll be like one person has a relative that is a blood match for this person, but not their own relative. But that person knows, like, then is a match for this person. That person's relative is a match for that person. And it like all
connects
like that. But this is just something that I've heard about in theory. And
yeah.
It feels like organ donation is, there's just a lot of
yeah. Given that they can't even, like, you've been to various doctors or even like if you go like on.
Don't get me started.
Like, there's not one system. You got to fill out the paperwork every time. And you're like, wait, I'm pretty sure you already have this. You know, it's like your address and stuff every time.
It's insane.
Yeah. And so,
if anybody with all my paperwork asks me if there's any chance that I'm pregnant or nursing one more time, I'm going to smack them with the clipboard. I won't do that.
I forget what I was watching
that
yesterday.
That is my urge.
But when I heard it, I thought, oh, I see what Sarah's saying about whenever you are someone who can't or isn't going to have children. Because this was like basically saying, your entire meaning can only come after parenthood.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm fine with that because I have one.
Right.
But, and I wouldn't have thought about it at the time before you said that. And I'm like, that would be really bother me.
Yeah. A whole new list of things bothers me. In fact, this, and this is like just for me to complain about now, there is a couple that I have followed on Instagram that talks all about their dink lifestyle and how they're never going to have kids and blah, blah, blah. And I loved them, love their humor, love everything. Eli and I would send them back and forth, be like, oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. And they're having a fucking baby. And it feels like the biggest betrayal. I'm like, fuck that baby. I hate that baby.
Yeah, well, I hate dinks.
I'm so kidding. I hope they have a wonderful, I know it's going to be magical and fantastic. But they did a whole bit about how their dink card is getting revoked. And
yeah,
and like,
well,
yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't have been smug assholes about it.
Like, But
that's why I torment you when you talk about your goddamn hot tub and your pal days. And I'm like, I haven't had a day off in 12 years. That night, Sarah, that night in DC was the first night we did not have a child in 11 years.
Oh my God.
11 years. He stayed over at a friend's house.
Wow, Lincoln!
There has not been one 24-hour period in his entire life where he wasn't with one of us.
Oh my God.
So.
Wow, what a special night.
Fucking annoying below deck marathon weekends in the fucking snacks, hot tub, whatever. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, I'm so lucky.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Keep reminding me of those things. I need that.
Well, anyway, I am lucky because I have Ritual Vitamins, and they are keeping me sane because I don't have to think too hard about what I'm putting in my body because they got it covered. Listen, I know I'm trying to give them too much credit here, but that's how I feel. It's a great routine to be in. They taste like mint. Yeah. I don't have to gag or feel vomitous. I'm getting those vitamins. They have the skin one. Hi,
Sarah. The skin one smells like vanilla.
Oh, yeah,
that
one is.
It's so lovely.
It is so nice. And it's clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines.
Oh, I've been using it.
And increase skin smoothness in 90 days. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/braincandy. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/braincandy for 25% off. I was just laughing about how they're having a baby. That's really crazy.
I know.
Like, was it an accident?
No,
or?
It was like probably planned, and they were all, and they, come on, they like videotaped them like seeing the stick and everything. It's all cute and they're adorable and it's going to be great. And blah.
I don't know. I think you should unfollow them.
I know, I have to.
Yeah.
You know what I did?
Annoying.
You know what I did? I did, because you know what? Self-care. I muted all the words kids and children on Instagram.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you can go, you can, on the videos it suggests you or the any posts it suggests. Well, I can't say that
I can
word.
Do like,
you
oh,
can
well.
Click the little dots and it says
what if
hide
you follow
posts
the
with
account?
Certain words and you just, or like,
yeah.
And I just put in those words. I put children.
Here's what is
kids.
Probably confusing to
babies.
Our listeners and sometimes me.
But I love children.
Because you said you didn't want kids.
Okay. So
I want you to say what you feel about that.
I. Because
it is like, wait.
Did I tell you this about the house?
No.
Oh, okay. So I thought about a lot about this. I thought a lot about this while I was recovering from my surgery, and I wrote something about it.
And a monologue prepared?
I do have a monologue prepared.
Okay.
Are you willing? Are you interested in hearing it?
Yeah, because I do think that's confusing to
people. A lot of people asked this. Okay. Here we go. Imagine there was a house, your dream house, a house that you and your partner dreamt of making your own, taking care of, watching your life unfold in. It was so perfect, and you wanted this house so badly, and you tried and tried to save all your money for it and set yourself up so you can get it, and then one day you have everything you need, and you place an offer, and it goes through, and you're so, so happy, and then something happens, and they pull the offer off the table, and you've already even started packing. You'd be so, so upset. Then you find out the reason is because of something you did, not your partner, but you. And no matter what you tried, you'd never get this house, all because of you. Then people, even the professionals, started telling you that there was a real chance that you'd never, ever have this house, that it was not going to happen. Someone else had moved in, and it would take a miracle for anything to happen at this point. Maybe for the first few years after, you'd be in denial and you'd still say, one day I'm going to live there. But as time passed and the reality of the situation set in, you might start thinking, you know what, the neighborhood we live in is fine. We can redecorate. Who even wanted to live in that neighborhood anyway? And it would make sense if even years later, you were happily settled in a new neighborhood. You had moments when you might say, man, I would have really loved to live in that house.
Okay. So you're saying you did want kids?
Yeah, I really wanted them. And then once you have a miscarriage and once you try for a long time and then people say, no, you can't have it. And then you have reproductive problems. And then I think it became easier for me to accept that. And then after I was in a situation where somebody I was with wanted to have kids with me and then that relationship went away, I had to go through therapy and work on the acceptance that I'm probably not going to have kids, with how long it took me to even get pregnant the first time and how that whole thing went and how the doctor said it would take, with how my uterus is positioned and what's going on with it, it would take medical intervention. That became so out of the picture. It's I don't want that. I guess I don't. So you start accepting what is the reality more and more of and then in order to ease that, you have to make it sound even better. But it makes my heart hurt. I'll cry. Cry all the time thinking about I will never get that. And that's all the little things. Mm-hmm. I have to really talk to myself a lot and say, there was no way without medical intervention that I could have gotten pregnant and I could have never carried. There's no room at the inn. There was no way that a egg could have implanted on the walls of the uterus that was as diseased as mine was. They wasn't going to happen. The only way was with a surrogate or something like that. And then to go through that process, I would have to really want to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Well, and you, it's a lot of money.
And it's a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have surrogate money, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remind myself that even if I wanted to, if I was yes, you know what? Fuck all that. Who cares about endometriosis? I'm going to live in pain. I want to have a baby today. Wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Not happening. And then they go in there and scrape away so much of the disease stuff. There's nothing left of the ovaries. Where they put all the eggs is you're taking away the basket. So they would have had to do the retrieval and it would have been insane. It would have been so painful.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure it's a back and forth too, even now, and will continue to be.
Totally. All it forever. And then I go, okay, well, there's wonderful families that have kids who are adopted. And if I want to have a baby, I can adopt a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Or a kid, or, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, or I'll just keep sharing all of my wisdom and love. Yeah, there's and lots
of different kinds of families. We all know that for sure. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I get it. It is confusing. You know, I think I get that from people a lot. They're like, what? I thought you didn't want to have kids, or I thought you did want to have kids. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, like I could just imagine like the kid who like, you know, all of his friends, like he's like the poor kid and all the rich kids are going to Disneyland. Like he'd be like, yeah, Disneyland is stupid. Disneyland sucks. Who even likes Disneyland anyway?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel. Mm-hmm. As like the kid who couldn't go to Disneyland. Yeah. Kevin Kidd's stupid. Who even wants this anyway? Like, yeah.
Like even if it is, you don't want someone else telling you you can't go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it. So.
Well, luckily, Sarah has someone to talk to about all this. And so can you, if you try BetterHelp.
This is the best segue. That's exactly who I talked to. Shout out to Sherry.
Shout out to Sherry. Brain Candy Podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And we're big fans over here because it's a great option if you want to talk to somebody about whatever's on your mind, relationships, grief, stress. Just want to chat.
You know what's funny is I wrote that I read on my Regain journal.
Oh my God.
That's what that's from, because she encouraged me to write out my feelings and talk about these kind of things and put this down. And look at that.
It's helpful. And what a great idea, because that is helpful.
And it is.
I didn't know you had a dream house. I thought you didn't even want a house.
I wanted that house so bad. And she helped me work through that.
Yeah. See, BetterHelp, people. I mean,
it's great.
Everybody needs to talk. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BrainCandy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BrainCandy. Why not just try it? You know, give it a try. See what you think.
Try it. Having somebody talk convenient. To you. You can switch therapists anytime you want. It's great.
From your house, wherever.
But don't worry, Sherry. I'm never switching you. I'm never leaving you.
Sherry's going to be your family. You can adopt Sherry. See?
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Sometimes therapists are like that. They're like surrogate parents.
Well, I appreciate you opening up and sharing that, because it's probably helpful to a lot of people. And it's just, you know, helpful to know where people are emotionally.
If there's one thing I'm good at, it's being vulnerable and open with you lovely listeners of the Brain Candy Podcast. It's sometimes the people I feel like it's easiest to talk to about this stuff. So,
I mean, I do.
They're my most supportive. I mean, come on. They're like, care package from multiple brainiacs. Like, come on.
It's very sweet. When you were like, I'm so mad you didn't tell me about Larry. I mean, I very rarely tell anything. Like, I'm not really a sharer.
No.
But I really love when you do.
Yeah, that's what makes this thing work. She, like, teased me up, and then I just...
Tell me more.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're going to totally switch gears here.
Okay.
This was another opinion article that I read in the New York Times. It was a woman that was talking about how, you know, temperatures are heating up. And literally.
Okay, yeah.
No, like summer, like spring. Like it's getting hot outside.
I was like, she's going to talk about Israel, and I don't want to. I really did. No, okay,
it's not even as serious as global warming. We're going way, way not as serious.
Okay.
What's your policy on open-toe shoes in the workplace?
It's like the opposite of Gaza.
I was like, whoa, way clear jets.
Okay, open.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was just so funny. Okay, open-toed shoes in the workplace.
We're not talking flip-flops here, but we're talking a peep toe. We're talking a sandal with a... Okay, the face that you are making is the face that I was making as I was thinking about my policy on this. And then in my notes, I wrote, why? ? Because I'll allow it in any other...
I don't even give it a second thought.
I don't. Yeah. But something about... And this is Sarah, who shows up in sweatshirts and pink jeans to her work every day.
It looks like you're not wearing pants.
Oh, I am. I'm wearing pink pants.
Okay.
I'm wearing pants.
Those are cute.
But I didn't bother to button the top
button. Are those the Target ones?
Yeah.
Those are really cute with the sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, like, I am all for the casual attire, but I can't explain why open-toed shoes in the workplace is like a instant, like, ooh, no.
I put it this way. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. But would you wear an open-toed shoe to dinner, a night out?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is it okay in a restaurant and not in an office?
Well, it's professional. But I realize this is just gut because I realize the ways that we leverage like classism, racism, sexism by using the word professional. That's why like dreadlocks and cornrows and things are policed because people
the only people who are gonna get mad are lesbians who are like, I need my Tevas at work. Who's wearing open-toed sandals?
I'm picturing like heels, like you said, peep toe.
Yeah.
Or like strappy heel.
But there's no culture that says that we're like an open-toed shoe is like the look like it is with dreadlocks. It's not attached to
I'm just
like
saying that people would
ethnicity.
Use the same word. Like they'll say cornrows aren't professional, which I don't agree with, by the way.
Yeah.
And then they'll say like strappy shoes and peep toes aren't professional. People use that word as a
Which is just
umbrella.
Saying like slutty women's shoes aren't professional.
Yeah, things they're saying like you have to be like white. You have to be.
Maybe this is to keep the foot fetish people.
Well, you know what? It's not a bad idea. Those people are animals.
And I would imagine they work in offices. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, for real. And they're weird pleated khakis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both anti-this.
I kink shame. Don't forget everybody, okay? So if you're mad, I know. Sarah does not. She's very open-minded.
I am so open to all kinks.
So are you fine with, like, a strappy heel in the workplace?
No. Okay. Because here's what I object to.
Mm-hmm.
And I am guilty of this. At this current moment in time, unmaintained feet.
Oh,
I got a pedicure. It's happening tonight. Don't worry.
Right, I hear what you're saying because really the problem isn't the toes.
It's the heel. Yep. Oh, yep. It's the cracked heel. It's the crack. It's the Death Valley below the ankle.
They're parched.
Oh, God. And you need some serious... You need multiple pedicures to cure.
Well, and most people, let's be honest, their toes are not savory.
No.
Most people aren't doing a good job down there.
This is true.
I swear, this is where, like... My obsession with baths really pays off because they're down there with me.
Feet. Yes, I totally agree. I get these babies are all clip, clip, trim, trim, no cuticle taken care
when
of.
You
no
shower only pinky. People, you forget what's going on down there.
You got to be close to your toes. This is a very good point.
Was the op-ed pro-toe?
No, it was anti. It was kind of saying the same thing that like, why is it kind of giving us the ick? Why is it that it's questionable in a workplace? Again, none of these questions answered.
And it's always like the Bunyan crowd. It's
and
like,
she
I
said
have to...
she ended it with maintenance of the heel is if there's one thing I know, maintenance of the heel is necessary.
Well,
and
so can
agree.
We just throw the peep toe in with all this then? Because the heel is not revealed in a peep toe.
The cleavage of the foot.
No,
I can't
it's a
get
peep.
Down with a peep toe.
There's no cleavage.
There is. Oh,
I will
you
show
mean
you
when the toe
in my Jimmy
sticks
Choo's.
Out.
Yeah, it's just
Just
a peep.
That. I'm thinking.
It's like a, it's like a foot wink.
I'm thinking the top where you see the little.
I don't like toe cleavage.
I don't like the toe cleavage. That's the part I don't like. Yeah.
There was a professor in my department who suffered with some sort of foot problem, and he was wearing those Teva-like sandals, like the Velcro.
No, sir. No. No, sir. Not okay. Not
and when
okay.
I would talk shit on him, people would be like, well, he has the condition. I'm like, lesbians, I don't care.
I am only kidding. I know, but listen, you guys love your Chacos and your Tevas, and you know
why do they love
that you would
so
wear
much?
Those on a casual day at work.
What if they brought out those this shoes, the Chacos just with the fix. Dusty?
Oh, oh, because they just match with cracked heels and the. Listen, I gotta do some care on mine.
Are you doing that today?
I'm not cracked. Yeah,
I can't wait to see them tomorrow.
Oh yeah. Maybe a French toe. I don't know. Can we still do that?
Well, not you know Melissa from New Orleans Real World.
Yeah,
she will shame anyone that gets a French on their toe. And I don't do that, but it really sunk in. I was like, wow, she really hates those.
Yeah,
I think it must be outdated.
Yeah, I'm going with the matte, like red on red.
Okay,
I'm trying a year of red nails.
What do they do for, like, really cracked heels there?
Well, what I do are those foot peels.
Oh, yeah. You love
you
that.
Where you put your feet in the bag, and then you let it sit, and then, like, uh-huh. 2 weeks later, your whole foot peels off. Oh!
What's called baby feet.
I think there are
like
a bunch of different
popular
kinds.
Brand,
yeah. I love those things. Don't know what it's doing.
Does it disturb you, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love it every bit. It's, like, equally, like, it, like, grosses me out. And I love it. It's
the human body is disgusting.
It is so foul, and it's constantly molting.
Yes.
Like, Susie, I find what I can only call, like, tumbleweeds through my house of my own hair. Yeah. All over the house. Trust me, when I leave, you'll find them.
That's
like
a curly girl problem, too.
Get together, and then next thing you know, it's like...
They're partying. It's like a rave.
Just like... I could never commit a crime.
This is a really unfortunate segue, but let's talk about food, shall we?
Feet, crimes, segue, well, food.
Let's talk about how some of you people are busy as heck, and you do not have time to prepare fancy meals, even like those meal kits that we love, where you make a nice recipe.
I hope we're talking about what I think we're talking about.
You know it. Factor. Baby.
Oh, I cannot begin to tell you how good these meals are.
They are tasty.
I mean.
And they're completely made.
Done.
Heat it up.
2 minutes.
This is this is not your mom's microwave. What do they call it? TV dinner. This is not your mom's TV dinner.
I rarely cop a tone, but I did when Eli tried to eat one of the meals that I had reserved for myself. There's a chicken, mushroom, and green bean one. And I was like, don't eat that one, that's mine. And he's like, don't you think that was kind of a strong reaction for TV dinner?
You were aggressive.
I was like,
that's a factor, baby.
Don't touch it.
Yeah, they have, this is like gourmet filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, so broccolini. Good. This is not, you know those turkey dinners I'm talking about. No fuss, no mess. Heat it up. Yummy, yummy. Head to factormeals.com/braincandy50. And use code BRAINCANDY50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's code BRAINCANDY50 at factormeals.com/BRAINCANDY50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yeah. I love
so
that.
Convenient.
I'm so hungry, too. I need some lunch. Okay. This is going to... When does this episode air?
The 11th of April.
After the eclipse?
After the eclipse.
So prisoners have sued for their right to view the eclipse. Did you
Interesting.
See this?
Interesting. Yeah. No.
So they're at the New York Department of Corrections. There was one person who said that as an atheist, it's within his rights to witness, like, religious
cosmic events
or cosmic events, and so he won that, and because of that a bunch of other inmates started doing that, and now they put a lockdown on it, and they said that from 2 p.m to 5 p.m prisoners will remain locked in their housing units rather than being allowed outdoors at their usual recreational time. That's some bullshit.
Mad. That is
I think they should sue. That's hard to say.
You were saying that they won, and then what happened? Like, why did it get rescinded?
One person applied for that, like submitted
through the prison system.
Yes. And then they got that granted, and then everybody's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so now the three people that are suing are an atheist, a Buddhist, and a Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I think they should be able to see it, at least, especially if it's during their rec time.
That
anyway.
Is the part that I am the most, like, frustrated about, that they would. And, like, what the fuck do you think is going to happen?
Well, I will say that we got an email about Lincoln School, and they said that if it's sunny that day, so clear visibility, they're canceling school because they feel like it's a safety issue because those bozos will just look up at the freaking sun.
Oh, my God. So, we have to cancel school on account of sunny. Kids looking at the sun.
So they would probably make up this reason for the prisoners, although that's their dumb fault if they look at it. Trump did.
Well, the prison, because of this inmate's request, had to provide the prisoner with glasses.
That's so funny.
I know, I love it. I'm super into that.
What would be the downside, as you're saying?
I can't imagine it. They cited that it was safety concerns for staff, visitors, and prisoners.
Yeah, see,
they love to do that bullshit. Yeah. That's like, what does that even mean? Safety, everything's really
they
safety
concern? They say that all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, everything's safety. Everything. And then what are you going to say?
Mm-hmm. Oh, what? Then you're going to say what? You don't want safety?
Right.
What, you anti-safety?
Yeah.
No.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Okay, other topic I wanted to discuss. Are bachelor parties dead? Bachelorette parties dead.
Oh, I hope so. Why?
So there's this new trend that's coming out, or been seen, getting popular, mm-hmm. where instead of bachelorette parties being this, like, woo-woo party time thing mm-hmm. where everybody's going to clubs in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. the trend is now to, as they put it, get out and connect with nature and enjoy each other.
I hate that more somehow.
And everybody's looking for leisure time. In a survey of 1,000 U.S. citizens, men and women, attending bachelor and bachelorette parties, 3 out of 5 respondents chose, when they're talking about their location preferences for the parties, chose a tranquil wellness retreat as their top choice.
Well, okay. So basically people are stressed out.
Yeah.
And it's like they just can't even deal with getting all wound up. They want to calm down.
I was thinking this was also kind of in line or similar to the trend that you're seeing of younger kids being like, you know, 20s, early 20s, being not big drinkers. And mm-hmm. being more into like, oh, I'm going to use like ketamine in a therapeutic setting or mushrooms or
good
like something
them.
Like that. Yeah, right? And then this is in line with that. But that's kind of like also people are more stressed out. And
absolutely.
Yeah, looking for different kind of answers mm-hmm. and their own almost religious experiences too.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it extends to bachelor parties, though.
Me too. Men and women, 3 out of 5 said that.
Wow.
And I am hearing that. I'm hearing that more.
If you had to pick.
Definitely. Susie.
Okay, but wait,
I want to go.
Let me frame it differently.
Las Vegas or can't? Come on. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, but wait. I actually don't know because, like, if I said,
okay, set it up,
Sarah, do you want to meet me in Vegas? We'll go to a concert, you know, like this, ooh, the circle
so
con. What
I
is
heard
that called?
So good. Yeah, sphere.
That ball, the sphere. Yeah. The sphere. Go see you too. Yeah. You know that we're not gonna like stay up all night going to Chippendales or something.
No.
But like,
but
we'll drink and like get crazy in Vegas. Or do you want to go to like meditate for the weekend?
No, right. First one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not usually just like a concert.
No, the wellness
bedtime.
Retreat that they were talking about in this was like
massages,
salt scrubs, yeah, and hang out by the pool, and you know, everybody.
That sounds great too.
It does sound great.
We could do that in Vegas. Like, go to a concert, and then like the next day when you're a little bit hungover, like go by the pool, yeah, get a massage.
Yes,
that sounds nice.
Should we have a bachelorette party in Vegas? Should I get married just for this? I mean,
sorry, Lincoln. We've started a trend. You don't need me. You're fine.
You're fine. Yeah, I mean, exactly. You made it one night. What's a week?
Well, yeah, because last that. Okay, so you know how I went on Thursday, we had candy club. Then I had to get up at like the butt crack of pre-dawn.
I did not know that because you never share.
Well, I had to do the radio. I filled in on the radio. Did you see that on my Insta story?
No.
Yeah, it was on there. I went on I had to fill in for the lady host. And what was my point?
Suze, oh, that's so cool.
I told him about how I was leaving Lincoln, and his kids are all older. And he was like, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, once, you know, people have been there, mm-hmm, done that, they are very quick to be like, why are you even talking about this?
Right. Your kid's fine.
Yeah, we can go to Vegas, no probs.
Oh my God, I love this new Susie. Yes! We're going to Vegas! Susie! Man, this is great.
Vegas.
We started it in Colorado, then we're going to take it to Pittsburgh on the road. Total eclipse of the sun.
Yeah.
And then next stop, we're getting hitched
okay,
to Vegas.
Okay, so everyone will know the answer by the time this airs, but I got to tell you, I'm crossing my fingers for overcast because it would really take, like, a lot of pressure off us. We're going to be leaving Challenge Mania.
Oh, okay. Then I can cross my fingers for overcast, too. Because
you know what? Like, because then it's like...
Oh.
Yeah.
Here, this is what I know about how the universe works, Sus.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we need to happen...
Okay, predict it right now.
...will happen.
Okay, eclipse.
Because...
And people will know if we...
When... time... Who fucking knows what it is?
Oh, yeah, man.
You know? And sometimes, don't you feel like, haven't you been like, have one of those days where you're like, oh, my day is so busy. I just need the universe to just like slow down. I need almost like things to go. And you manage to get everything done. And it's like, it did feel like the universe went in slow motion today.
Did
so
it?
I think.
What happened?
No. I'm saying like on days like that. And then that
so
happens.
Excited.
And then you go,
oh,
it does feel like that. No, but like it does. I had one of those days recently. And I'm like, how did everything happen today?
You're a witchy woman.
And so I think if we just go in with that attitude of like, I need everything to, something will happen where it'll be like, oh, this thing got canceled, this thing got moved, or you, and now we're like,
everything will fall
breezy
into place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Watch.
You are slowly becoming Sally Rice.
Well.
And I love it. Now,
because the things that she's right about, it's mm-hmm, you know,
yeah,
listen, a lot of wisdom when you're in menopause.
I think you that somehow
things
did bypassed my mom. I don't know what happened.
You gotta just catch her on a good day. She's full of wisdom.
She's full of energy.
Yeah.
So I guess you can only have one or
and
the
how
other.
Wise.
Okay. Well, people will know when this airs, whether you got it right, because we'll be documenting our journey.
This sounds like I gave you no facts this episode.
No, do you have any more? You can do one more.
Okay. We're just going to bust through this real quick because it's very interesting to me and
maybe
to you.
Yeah, tell me. I love it.
Would you like to know? I went down this rabbit hole. I was listening to this book that was talking about the cost of things. And then it said in the book that printer ink was so expensive that printer ink is
that
like
is true.
The
and
most
then they practically give you the printer.
Yes.
Yes.
The printer is free because and
scam.
How much it was. And I was like, holy shit. And then I was like, how much is it really? So then I was looking up the price of printer ink per gallon. And then I came across the list of the 10 most expensive liquids in the world.
I
Are you ready?
Wait. Yeah.
Number 10. Human blood. Coming
How
in.
How much is that?
$1,500 per gallon.
Who's paying it and receiving it?
Well, it says
the
act
donor
of acquiring human blood isn't that difficult, but processing the blood and the donations can be very expensive depending on where the world it is buying and selling it. And they have like dealers, brokers for this. Remember I dated a guy who sold skin once?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You have really dated some doozies.
He was great.
Yeah, he was. But yeah, like, who does that?
Who does that? Somebody in the medical sales field.
But it's what you were saying earlier about the organ donation. Like, shouldn't the donor get maybe, let's say, a $50 bill? That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I would probably donate. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you incentivized it with just a little bit of money, yeah, you would would spike.
Right. If it's that much per gallon, give me a cut.
Just tack on 50 more bucks
What's to the problem? Price.
Yeah.
I see. And if I'm in need of blood, I will give you $50 for a gallon of it.
Yeah. What's your blood type? Do you know?
Oh, fuck. I don't remember. I think it's AB positive. Ooh.
That feels rare.
Oh, no, it's not rare. I'm regular. It's not.
You want to be rare.
Yeah, probably.
You've always been disappointed by that?
Yeah, totally. I'm like, ugh, fine, boring. Number 9, GHB.
What is that?
Gamma hydroxybutyric acid, basically the date rape drug, the one that I got dealt.
Someone wasted that on your ass. Like, when you're just like, ops got
$2,500 per gallon.
Wow.
It's also used to treat depression, insomnia, and narcolepsy, and uses anesthetic but also
what known. Do you think's the dosage if you want to like poison, you know, to get somebody passed out like they do?
Oh fuck, I don't know. One
like
drop,
how much do you
drop,
think they pay like a drop. For like $100?
I have no I don't even know how it comes.
Yeah, right.
I like couldn't tell you what form it is. I have no fucking clue. Number 8 on the list, black printer ink. $2,700 per gallon.
That is sick.
Number 7, mercury. $3,400 per gallon. Number 6, insulin.
Yeah, I watched
$9,400 per gallon.
That is outrageous, by the way. And that's only in America.
Outrageous.
It's not worldwide.
Right, with a big old... Yeah. Number 5. This is funny. It's number 5 on the list. Chanel number 5.
I did see that.
$26,000 per gallon.
Worth it.
Worth it, she says. Number 4. We've talked about this on the show before. Horseshoe crab blood.
Yeah.
$60,000.
What do we do with that?
That has the unique response to bacterial toxins, so you can use it to test a wide range of medical products that and make sure that it's not contaminated. Like, you use it, the horse blood in there, and then it tells you, like,
okay, that I get.
So, very good. Number 3, LSD. Again, curious about dosage, because these just come in what look like postage stamps. Yeah. It's... okay, look at this. Just 1 gallon of LSD would provide enough hallucinogens for approximately 55,000 people.
Okay. Whoa. Little goes a long way with that.
Yeah.
Did you know that it was a liquid, though? 000. Am I an idiot?
I knew it was a liquid because I've only seen it on little strips of paper. Like, they put it on these little teeny tiny squares of paper.
I thought that's powder, you know?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it would dissolve. No, it's like a piece of paper.
I get it. Like, yeah, you're saying like a stamp, like adhesive. I see.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. Okay. Number 2, King Cobra Venom at $153,000.
That's and worth it, too.
It is for a painkiller that's 20 times more potent than morphine. And number 1 is Scorpion Venom. And it comes in at $39 million per gallon, and that's because it is the protein that's found in the scorpion venom can be used to treat pain from humans who suffer from MS and rheumatoid arthritis, but there are only 25 species of scorpions that have this venom. So I would imagine the extraction process is so expensive and difficult that
$39 million
a gallon.
Right. Do you think there is anywhere you could actually find like a gallon jug of a scorpion venom?
No way.
It's all like vials.
Yeah. And I would think that you would have to preserve it. Like, in order for it to maintain its like potent quality, it's something. There has to be some sort of like preservation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think of, you know, the restaurants that just keep filling up the old ketchup bottles, and that bottom layer of ketchup is like,
I sure do.
Yeah.
I used to work at one.
Right.
And then eventually they explode. Oh. Like it becomes rancid at the bottom.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Eventually, if you open it, it's like a geyser.
Oh my God, that's why it pops open like that. And then,
thankfully, now, of course, Heinz makes red bottles.
Yeah, that are squeezy. I hate that.
You hate the red bottles.
No, I like it because I don't have to see that, you know, gross insides of the ketchup
bottle. No. Now they're not gross because the reason that they had to fill them was because it looks not cute.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So they can go through the whole bottle and let it run out without refilling. Ah, yeah.
That took a little too long, though.
Wait, so, this is what I'm saying about the actual upside-down bottle.
What?
That we should have started with upside-down squeeze bottles to begin with.
Yeah.
That took too long.
Yeah. What is the next thing? Because we should invent it.
I'm
always thinking about that.
I have the idea. We've talked about this.
Did I love it?
I mean, I'm sure you were like, like everybody else is to it. But I'm telling you, it's a $1 million idea. At least $150,000 idea.
Well, I'm still working on windshield wipers that do not squeak when they're working. So you work on yours, I'll work on mine.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
And maybe we'll have the rest figured out by the next episode. I don't know.
Okay, well... did you tell that guy at Mike Birbiglia that like we host this show or anything?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I'm just checking because what if he listens and I'm over here trashing him?
You think front row guy at Mike Birbiglia is
he's the kind of guy that would want to hear what you had to say about him.
Well, 100% right, but I did not tell. I was not
okay. Smart.
No.
You were like, I'm a therapist. Do you have any other questions?
Oh God, I don't say that either.
Well, you should because that's a conversation killer.
Here's the thing, Suze. He never asked me any of those questions because a man like that doesn't ask me about myself.
You're just an accessory for him to talk about himself more.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I hate you,
He told
you,
me
sir.
Things. He didn't ask me things.
Did he say what his wife was sick with? Was it a mystery illness?
Yeah. Under the weather.
That old chestnut. Okay.
Yeah.
Organ donation. We'll find out what people think about that in terms of should people be compensated or not.
Yeah. Should we set up a system where you just like can donate your organ? You'd be like, can't pay those student loans. Let me donate my kidney.
And we do not want to know what you think should happen in the Gaza Strip, but we do want to know if you think people should wear open toe.
Yes.
In the workplace.
Yes.
Should prisoners be able to watch the eclipse?
Yeah.
I would vote for anyone that like outlawed bachelorette parties, to be honest with you. Everyone hates them. You know when gay men hate something?
Susie,
everyone should hate it.
We were in Nashville together, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was the most bizarre thing. I'll never forget. We were on that rooftop and you and I could look out and there were two main streets, and on what you go to one side of the roof, you could hear the woos coming from those women. You go to the other side of the street, you hear the woos coming from the other one.
Yeah,
well, it was like every corner.
That's the capital of the world. It's actually true. I don't know why people go there for their batch parties, but it's too much for me.
Yeah.
Anyway,
better now that Beyonce is there.
Take care of your printer ink.
Yeah. And your scorpion blood. Venom. Yeah. Scorpion venom.
Yeah.
King Cobra
venom. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.